1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
All right, let me go to Hal and Viola and Art. You're there.
Yeah.
Hal?
It's Hal Level Earfell. I'm talking to you from, interestingly enough, our private craft, drift flying aloft from Nevada. And I was very fascinated with your guest this evening. I thought he had some interesting things to say. And I thought I could just heartily echo what the man is saying.
Are you a commercial pilot, sir?
Come again?
Are you a commercial pilot?
No, my wife and I fly for pleasure. We're flying to see the Laughlin.
You fly over Laughlin tonight?
Yeah, that's correct. We go over. We like to stay at many of the different hotels. And
hold on, this is my wife.
Mr. Griego, this is Viola Levalier, and I'm married to Hal Levalier. And I had a question for you, if I could ask you.
Go ahead. He's listening to you.
Yes, ma'am.
Your statement that the weight of an aircraft can affect the stability of the aircraft, I can understand. Do you think the weight of two Schnauzer dogs...
Hold on. The CCs, and now...
No, come on. Don't fight over the phone, all right?
No, but she's... Let me explain something.
Well, can I ask what's going on?
No, she's trying to say my wife doesn't believe that the two Schnauzers that I hate and will always hate that she brought on this flight with us, and these are her dogs.
I have two dogs, Benny and Noodles. They are Schnauzers, purebreds. We have the papers on them. And we're taking them over to Laughlin so my sister can keep them for the next few weeks because we're going to be taking the RV.
All right.
Now, do you think the weight of two Schnauzers can affect the stability of an aircraft?
Hold on. Let her...
She smuggled them on, Phil. She smuggled...
I'd like to answer that, Phil.
Yeah, let the gentleman answer it.
Right.
It depends on what other weight you're carrying on the aircraft.
Smuggle the dogs on the aircraft, and I can tell that the feel of the aircraft is all wrong. And
you don't know your ass from a hole in the...
How do you like that language, huh?
Well, if I could answer, Phil.
Go ahead.
A Schnauzer dog.
She brought the Schnauzers on, and I'm getting rid of them. That's all there is to it. There's no discussion.
Get away from the cages.
I don't know what to do.
What are you doing?
Phil, he's going to jettison the... he's going to jettison the Schnauzer.
You bet your GD rear end? Let me have the cages.
Phil, don't, please.
What is he doing?
He's going to throw them.
I'm pitching them. Benny and Noodles my ass. Get this. Goodbye!
Well, guess what, genius? We're still stalling.
Well, we're stalling because I didn't get rid of the dog soon enough. We're going in, Ma. I love you.
Well, I don't know what to say about that, Phil, but
did that plane crash?
Yeah, it sounded like what you're asking me.
Well, you're an expert.
Yeah, Phil, that sounded like an explosion. God. I think it...
Well, I don't know. I mean, in other words, he threw the...
He threw the dogs out. And,
Let's rewind the tape on that, Bud, okay?
All right.
I'm jettisoning the dogs, and there's no discussion about it.
Well, we're still stalling.
How do you like that, huh? And brand new Florsheim shoes.
That was a recording?
That was apparently what we just heard, yeah.
Because I didn't hear that Florsheim shoe comment the first time.
Are you having trouble breathing?
No, I'm not. I'm getting over that allergy that...
Let's hear it one more time, Bud, okay?
You want to hear...
Just play it again, okay?
Let's try it with a better explosion.
Get out of here and just play it again, okay?
And I'm jettisoning the dogs. That's all there is to it. Ha-ha! Yeah! Here they go. They're flying. They're flying all to hell.
Well, Hal, I hope you... Oh, thanks a lot. We're still going to stall.
Stalling? And we just bought that property near Scottsdale.
Yeah, that's better.
All right. Well, listen, I don't know what to say other than, you know, I'm sure the weight of any given aircraft can be affected by schnauzers, a steamer trunk that has all those neat looking labels on it, Africa, or anything else. But we do thank again Mr. Art Griego, who spent the better part of an hour trying to explain what sounded like a whole lot of hooey to me to our audience. What was that, bud?
I found a nuke.
All right, let's try with that.
And I'm getting rid of the dogs, and I don't give a sweet Jesus how it happens.
Oh, well, great. We're still stalling.
We're still stalling? Well, I got rid of the dogs. Hell, I even threw out my hernia belt.
Any better?
Okay, well, that's burned up about 3 minutes going through that hokum. Any better? All right, so Hal and Viola, thank you very much for your phone call and dying once a week in more ways than one on our show. Okay, so that's the end of that, man. I can't, Jesus. All I know is, dude, when I get on one of those little airplanes and that those props start up and the thing is like going back and forth, and I don't dig it. The best short flight I ever took was from Minneapolis to Green Bay on that commuter jet going over to see the Packer game. That was a beautiful thing, except I was too fat to let the food tray drop down. All right, 1-800-449-8. That's what King Kong sounds like when he farts. Isn't that great? All right, 1-800. Jeez. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Hey, you know, I've been obviously following the situation in West Virginia with the miners. And there's a really, really terrific film that was done by John Sayles about maybe 15 years ago or so called Matewan. You should see this movie because it tells the story of how the coal miners organized, at least in one particular town in West Virginia, and how they decided they didn't want to work for the company. They wanted to have a union. And the way it was organized, how they brought in African-American miners, Italian miners, the Polish miners, and it became a very egalitarian organization. And, you know, how the coal mining companies tried to exploit the racial differences between the workers. And I believe, I could be wrong, and I, you know, I'm probably violating my own rule here. I should have, like, maybe researched a little bit. But I believe it's essentially a true story or based on fact, or maybe it's just crap. But it's a pretty cool flick. And it does give you the sense of what exists for those folks. This is generation after generation after generation of people who work in those mines. And they go down there and it's I couldn't do it. I can't go up high or down, way down low. I can't do either one. Everything with me is right in the middle, man. Couches, televisions, that's my thing. Going way, way up or way down. And these guys, these poor guys that are working in these mines. And then, of course, every so often we hear about a mine, you know, like a mine shaft collapsing. Now, the guys that are trapped down there, I understand, are like a mile down, did you say, Mark? I can't even feature that, a mile. And, of course, I was stupid. I asked, you know, did they have cell phone service, you know?
Really?
I don't know. No, they don't have cell service down there. I can't even get cell service in this building. Are you kidding? We are talking about cell service here, bud. That means the cell service that we have in the United States of America. You can't get it across the street. What makes you think I can get it a mile down in a freaking coal mine? In any event, I would recommend this film. It tells an interesting story about the people in the town, coal miners, and the you know, their efforts at organizing and unionizing, which is extremely important. I know it's another one of these things, these conservative talk show hosts, like we were talking about that Bill Cuffington guy. You know, conservative talk show hosts are like running out of material. One of the things they love to beat on is the whole union thing. Like it's bad. There's nothing bad about it. Some unions suck. Some unions are great. Every union should exist only because if it was a perfect world, then you'd be working for people that care about you, right? Well, you don't. If this was a perfect world, you'd be working for guys that really want you to make the most money you possibly can. It just ain't the case. These cats want to make as much profit as they can, and that's their right. The guy's working, he wants to make as much money as he can. That's why you got a union. In any event, take a look at it. David Strainheim's cool in the movie. He plays the town constable. He's got that hat turned inside out, and he's like, "What's the pitch?" And all these guys are World War I veterans. Did you notice all of the references to the war? They'd been in the Great War, and that one dude that worked for the company, he came in. Now, you remember the guy on the show Emergency? Not Randall Montooth or whatever, the other guy. That was the cat who was the bad guy from the company. And this guy kept saying things like, you know, he's the guy that I got the line. As a matter of fact, he's the guy I got the line from, where he gets off the train with the other guy from the company. They're going to come into town. They're going to kick ass on these miners and get them to get back to work and quit all the strike stuff. And there's this little, beautiful little chick sitting there at the railroad station. And that's what she does. And her name is Bridie. And she watches all the trains come in every day, right? And he sits down next to her and he says the classic line, "Well, you're about the best piece of mountain trash I've ever seen. Ain't she?" And then they just mow. And these two, you know, these two dudes are bad. But anyway, he's he got the Congressional Medal of Honor. He says something like, you know how I got this medal? A bunch of Germans jumped into the ditch with me and I stuck my bayonet in their face. And in the morning, I went around and did it again. That's when he said, "And you're about the best piece of mountain trash I've ever seen." All right, it's time now for some email. This is...
Jesus.
Yeah, I know, it's getting gruesome. Phil, you've seen this. Please accept my... If you've seen this, please accept my apologies. However, if you haven't, it's worth your time. I wonder how much national press this got or didn't. I bet you can't keep your eyes dry. Support our troops. I don't know. And it's a big, long story, which I should have read, but I didn't. But it has something to do with something cool. And maybe we'll post it and maybe we won't. But anyway, I'd like to thank you, whoever you are. Oh, David, thanks, pal. Here's one from Brian in Texas. "I was just listening to your show from the 2nd of January, 06. That would be yesterday. Just so you know, the USS Cole was in fact bombed, but has since been repaired and is back in service." Huh? "Hey, Phil, emotional roller coaster over here in West Virginia. We won the Sugar Bowl, but we got 13 coal miners trapped underground." That's pretty much sums up West Virginia, coal mining and football. By the way, it's West Virginia, not Western Virginia. I caught Bill Handel calling us Virginia once this morning. We separated over 100 years ago. Love the show. What are you going to do? Bill Handel, it's too early in the morning for Bill. As a matter of fact, I can tell you, well, nobody knows who Bill Handel is, do they? Well, yeah, of course you do, some of you. Anyway, they got a thing posted on the studio in Bill, you know, near Bill's studio, that basically every time he screws up, they write it down. "Hey, Phil, I've been a fan here in Memphis for years, but your show seems to pop up and disappear on our AM dial on a regular basis." No, boy, no kidding. "Thank God I got an MP3 player for Christmas. I was considering subscribing to satellite radio only to catch your hilarious, unique, and insightful show, but I was delighted to find for $6.95 I can instantly download the entire show in a matter of minutes and then listen anytime I like. Kudos on the streamlined and hassle-free process. I'm moving back to Tulsa in a few weeks, and I hope I can find you on the dial." No, you won't be able to. "P.S. Also, thanks, but we are on in Oklahoma City. A way better place to live."
You done?
No, I'm not done. I just let the music. It was a nice way to end it.
Oh, okay.
Jesus. "P.S. Also, thanks for the kind words after reading my email on the air. If you mean I've already read one of your emails? You stinking no good. Hey, Phil, I have to tell you that you are hysterical. My husband and I both listen. As a matter of fact, I told him that I wanted an iPod for Christmas so I could listen to your show every day. We live in Central Florida and do not get to listen to your show all the time. Now that I have the iPod, I get automatic downloads every day of your show. You are the best. Keep up the good work. Bobby Dooley's my favorite. Thanks, Don." Yes, another commercial for the downloads. It's just another load of a commercial. "When life is a stress and I'm traveling, I use my backstage..." Will you get out of here? What is she... Michelle, what are you doing? You're like, she's printing off all of these testimonials. "Hey, Phil, I just got a backstage pass and I love it. You've said in the past 10K to anyone who had your name on their roof that you could see from a Google satellite." That's true. He's asking, is that true or am I just hearing things? "If it is true, does the offer still stand if it's in a field instead of a roof? Let me know. I would love to take your money." If I can see the name Phil Hendry on the Google satellite map, yes, 10 grand.
Like a crop circle.
Yeah, dude, I like a crop circle, man. You know, now, how high up can you see it, though? Oh, you know, that thing gets down pretty close, doesn't it? But it gets higher. I mean, in other words, the closest focused picture that I've ever gotten off the Google map is well above the highest skyscraper in New York. So that's a pretty big sign, wouldn't you say? Just make it big, okay? Make it real big. And that's from Vern. Anyway. Hey, Phil, I'm a new listener. Having come across your show on XM Radio a few months ago, I'm a military veteran and now work for the U.S. Postal Service here in Phoenix. Because of my war wound, I'm liable to go psycho at any minute. He didn't write that. I wanted to add it, and now I feel bad about doing it. I'm able to listen to my MP3 player while it works, so I got a backstage pass and filled my player with archives of your show. You're one of the best broadcasters. I wanted to say thanks for bringing your neat brand of radio. You're a great guy. I'm sure that if this is the case... I just wanted to say thanks for bringing your unique brand of radio to the air, and I'm a dedicated fan for life. I'm not sure if this is the case in other cities, but here in Phoenix, there is a trend of women wearing pajama bottoms out in public. I've seen them at the mall and supermarket, amongst other places. In some instances, it looks cute, but I've seen a few women with just a little too much jiggling action going on. Each time I see this in public, I think, would Ted Bell allow her into his steakhouse dressed like that? Pajama bottoms, huh? That sounds hot. Hey, Phil, ever since I got my XM radio last month, I've been tuning into your show. It took me a couple of shows to really get it. Now I get it, and I can't freaking live without it. I'm glad there are sick bastards like you out there for sick bastards such as myself. My friends and ex-Navy SEAL Froggy turned me on to your show. So just know that legitimate badasses are plugging you out there. He didn't explicitly say tune in or else, but I got the message, Preston. All right, man. This thing that my kids got me for Christmas is a documentary on World War II, but it's the best one I've ever seen because it's got stuff in there that you don't know about. Like, for instance, the forerunner to the Green Berets was a group called the Jetbirds. And these were guys that were parachuted into France, and they organized the French Resistance. These were American soldiers. They parachuted in long before Normandy, and they organized the French Resistance. And basically acted as leaders and formed these little groups of Maquis, these French resistant fighters. And then they'd go out and, like, hassle Germans. You know, they'd attack patrols and stuff. These guys are the forerunners of the Green Beret. Now, and stuff like Delta Force. Now, there's another group. They were called UDT. And this guy says he's going to school at UCLA. And a guy from the Navy comes in and says, if you'd like to join a special thing with the Navy, and the only requirement is you have to be able to swim. And he said, you get hazard pay if you join. So these guys joined, and this turned out to be an underwater demolition deal, which became the Navy SEALs, see? So this is stuff. And another thing that I didn't know, Russia was in the war, too. See, I learned a lot of stuff. Phil, I listened first, then I watched the webcast. Wow, was that great. It was like listening to the old-time radio network shows. Your talent is unmatched on the radio. The day you move on will be a sad one for us who listen. Thanks for the laughs. George W. Bush. Thank you. Hey, Phil, I need some marital advice. My wife likes to go to bed early, and I like to listen to your show. So some nights I'll lie in bed and listen to your show online with headphones. We're both happy, and my wife just drifted off, and all of a sudden you'll hit butt or something, and I can't keep back the laughter. If I'm lucky, I can contain it to just a bit of a belly laugh. I'm a fat slob. No matter. She startles awake, all mad, and ready to kick me in the scrotilia. So, Phil, you're the expert on holding back laughter. What's the secret? So long, and thanks for the sleepless nights. David H. in Dallas. There is no way, man. You can hold it in a little bit, but then it'll just express itself as a fart or a sneeze. So you might as well just laugh. Thanks for the email, everybody. Our email address, that's our web address. Our email address is phs@philhendryshow.com, and our website is www.philhendryshow.com. When you're there, please pick up the Best of the Phil Hendry Show CD. It's available now for your perusal, man. And all that money goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood, California. We're going to have more webcasts in the very, very near future. And not too long, maybe a couple of weeks, we'll start, you know, go, listen to me, I'm stuttering. We're going to start doing the thing, the TV show Teachers on NBC. And that's going to be starring Sarah Alexander and Justin Bartha and a whole bunch of really funny people. And we'll keep you abreast of how that stuff goes, see?
See, I got some real stuff to talk about, man. I'm not like Ryan C-Scum, you know.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
And don't forget our website, www.philhenryshow.com, where you can get my friend's place CD, The Phil Henry Show Best, the, you know, like the 2005 thing. I forget what it's called. Just go there and buy one. All the bread goes to my friend's place. They're my favorite people in the world. They help people, which is more than I can say for me. And, yeah, the CD's pretty good. Now, let's talk about the Dick Clark situation. Number one, here's what I think. So what? You know what? If anybody made fun of that guy, I'm going to find you and I'm going to cry. I'm going to just stand there and weep. Why would you do that? So the cat had a stroke and the cat wasn't saying everything right. I think it's cool. I think it's great that the guy came out there, did a national network show, and he didn't give us sweet Jesus. He just went right out and ripped through it, man. So what? And Ryan Seacrest was very classy, standing there with the shoe-shined hair, the tuxedo, and all the money, more money than Christ himself. Oh, God, I hate him so. I'm kidding, Ryan. You're really, I don't know you. My wife met you one night. Ryan, my wife met you one night in the bar at the Four Seasons Hotel, and she said, "Hi, I'm Maria Sanchez, the wife of Phil Henry," and you looked at your date and you said to her, "Look, baby, are people paying attention to me?" Anyway, so Dick Clark got on the thing, and we were, you know, I know, Mark, you were out at a party. You guys were watching ESPN. We were at a party where they, you know, put on Dick Clark, okay? And then I realized, well, a guy is coming off a stroke, and he's going to be on the air. And sure enough, I heard the distinctive slurring speech of a man that's suffered through one of those. Now, the first reaction you have is, why would he do that? And the second reaction I had was, good for you. Why not? Hey, look, if Barker can get out there with his silver hair, and if Roseanne, what's-her-name, could get out there just looking the way she did, and if Oprah can get on TV every day, and if Bill O'Reilly can put that kisser of his on television, why can't Dick Clark do the whole Bell's palsy act? What's wrong with that? I say I'd rather hear Dick Clark slurring through the Gettysburg Address than have to look at one more moment of Bill O'Reilly. I'd rather listen to Dick Clark for a solid hour reading the phone book with the slurred speech that he had than have to live through the presence of Bill O'Reilly, because all that's going to do is drive me to pull out my Swiss Army knife that I got from the great people of King of the Hill, pull out a blade, and stick it in my eye. You know what I'm saying? Seriously. So I think the guy was solid. It was a beautiful thing. Everybody was kind of classy. Of course, my wife's going, "Who's the chick on the street?"
Woo.
Well, who's she? I know there's Ryan Seacrest, and then there's Dick Clark, and they had some chick down on the street. And Maria thinks because she didn't pay her dues working the White House beach, she shouldn't be down there. Pfft, I don't know who she is. It doesn't matter who she is. She's the person they send down there to go get, quote, color. And 9 times out of 10, what she wind up doing, she's talking to some black maid. I didn't mean that. Just go on the street and talk to some juicers. Go down there and talk to some freaking rumheads. "Hi, where are you from?" "We're from New Orleans. This is, God, it's great." And, okay. And then they go back to Dick. And now, the thing I do want to know, who was that blonde Dick was lip-locking there at the top of the, I didn't kiss my wife at midnight. I couldn't take my eyes off of Dick Clark. When midnight struck, man, my wife didn't get a kiss. My eyes, and only my eyes, were glued to Dick. If you'll pardon the expression. And anyway, there was some blonde that he lip-locked at the time. It must have been his wife, as best as I can say. Because it was very low-key. They only showed the back of her head. And, you know, it was a very nice thing. Now, I haven't heard anything. I don't think anybody has got a... They better not have a problem with it. That's all I got to say. You see, here's the thing. The Miss America pageant, you realize, is it's all but dead. And the reason why it's all but dead is because they can't really make a swimsuit show anymore. It's never been about, here's Miss America, and she is really brilliant, and she roller skates, and she plays the fiddle. You know, no, it's about looking at chicks in bathing suits. Because if you're going to talk about a Miss America pageant, why not have one with one eye or a chick that's one-legged, chick in a wheelchair, you know? And that was beginning to happen. That was the pressure they were getting. They were having a lot of people hobbling in there and saying, I'm signing up. Now, wait a minute. What is this? I mean, they had a whole line of people, man. You'd think it was receiving day at the St. James Infirmary. And all these women, one-legged, one-eyed, coming in, and they want to be in the Miss America pageant. And you know, Burt Parks is, you know, his ghost is spinning. And they say, what the hell are you, what do you want? We're here for the Miss America pageant. What's the matter? You don't like women with one plastic eye? Well, no, it's not that. Well, guess what? We can be just as beautiful as anyone. Ain't you heard beauty's only skin deep? This is the turn of the century. So start, let's see the application process. I got a woman here. She's a hunchback. Another guy with a plastic leg. I got a guy back here with three legs. I got a woman here who's actually a hermaphrodite. And we're going to keep right on going. And so finally, somebody at the Miss America pageant just decided to push the eject button on this gig. Oh, but it's cool because it rips the lid, as Doug Danger would say, off of all of the foible and hypocrisy, doesn't it? So with Dick Clark. With Dick Clark slurring his way. And when I say that, I say with the greatest of respect. I'd love to make that kind of jack slurring. I tried it one time. I did one gig drunk, just one night. I was 20. I just got into the business, and I went to a party, and I came, and I did my air shift, and I was hammered. That's the last time. The last time. Because I was doing midnight to 6, there's no way you could get a liquor store to deliver at 2 a.m. And I worked with a news guy one time. Get a load of this. You'll love this story. I'm working in Orlando, Florida, and I'm on the radio, and I'm doing a weekend gig. I'm just doing a weekend disc jockey show on this radio station, right? And so I'm doing the thing, and at the top of the hour, a news guy is supposed to come in and do the news. Well, it's the top of the hour, and there ain't no news guy. So I go into the newsroom, and what do I see? A guy sitting there reading news with a tall can of Budweiser. And I go, dude, it's the top of the hour. He's like, yeah, I'll be in there in a minute. Guy came in 3 minutes late. So I took a cue from that, and I began showing up at work with, like, tall boys of Bud. That was the low point of my career. But why wouldn't I? I was working on a radio station where I had to play, like, Ray Price records, and then I'd segue at Tony Orlando and Dawn, and then I'd do some a contest where they'd give away a house, and you'd call a guy up. You ever called a guy up and told him he's won a house, and this is his response? That's great. See, if you were calling up a cat from a radio station, say, sir, you've just won a house. He's supposed to go, oh, God. This guy, I said, yes, sir, this is Phil Hendry from XYZ Station in Orlando.
Uh-huh.
And you have just won our grand prize, a house. A house. And this was the guy's reaction. And who are you people again? You know, it's me. We're at the radio station. Do you remember signing up for a contest? Well, I went into the furniture showroom, yes. And did you fill out a thing? Yeah, I drop my name into a box. I do it everywhere. Well, we pulled your name out, and you won a house. All right, well, I'll have to. I don't believe you. You're full of crap. You know, that was it. And I had a tape record. You know, this had to be on the air. So this was the big, exciting giveaway, a house. And the dudes,
yeah, it's great. Thanks.
That's the last time those guys ever did a contest where you just fill something out and stick it in a box. Yeah, that's going to get me to listen to your station. Look at, thanks for the house, but your station still blows. How do you like them apples? All right. Anyway, good for you, Dick. But no more pajama bottoms, huh? That whole pajama bottom thing. My wife wears pajamas. I don't. I wear shorts. That's it, man. I sleep on top of the covers. It's too freaking hot. It's too hot. It's too hot. Can't you get it into your heads, ladies? Some of us guys, it's just too bloody hot in that room. I got to open windows, baby. I don't care if it's wintertime. Good. You buy all them comforters, right? Isn't that the big chick thing to do? Get yourself 9 million comforters, 85 million quilts, 65,000 nightshirts, the ones that look like, you know, right out of freaking Peter Pan, whatever you like. Put them all on, man, because I ain't getting under those. I am dying from the heat. My wife said, you're sweating. Why? Because I'm burning alive in here. That's why. God almighty. And then in the summer, does your lady do this? Yeah, hi, honey. Listen, we have air conditioning. May we turn it on? No, I don't like that artificial air. Open up the windows. It's very pleasant out. Oh, come on. I'm in a house here, man. It's a stucco house. It absorbs the heat all day long. It'll be 2 a.m. before the heat that is embedded in the walls of this house dissipates enough where I can enjoy all that beautiful air out there you're talking about. I need air conditioning, and I need it now. So she, as a kick, this is what she did for me. She went out and had one of those ceiling fans installed. Oh, that's great. So what it does is blow the hot air around. Anyway, we love them, don't we? 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
I got some free cigars, too, from a gentleman by the name of Bill Makins. And Bill's with a company. And the name of the company is Texas Cigar Brothers. Did you see the box of cigars, Mark? I don't know. I brought them in. I'll give you one. And there's Stogies. There's Honduran Leaf, which I suppose is Cuban leaf. But guess what? I wouldn't know the first thing about cigars. All I do is light it up, smoke it, and if I get high, here's my money. I'm, of course, alluding to the high one gets from the exhilaration of smoking a good cigar. Whew. The cigar thing, I never got into heavy, and I don't know why, other than the fact I've been smoking since I was 14, so I know all there is to know about smoking. And cigars, I don't like them because I can't inhale them. Now, I know it all sounds very bad. I know it sounds bad. Nicotine is an addicting substance. I don't want to be a hypocrite. I tell my kids don't smoke, and they won't, because my kids are products of the DARE program, which beat into their brains that drugs, alcohol, all that stuff is bad news, baby. Not alcohol so much, but cigarettes suck. And so they don't dig them. And every time they see me light one up, of course, they look at me with a disapproving eye, and they you know, shake their heads with disgust and turn around and walk inside the house. And I mope around, just, you know, I have my head sort of just hanging down, and I shuffle about the backyard feeling sorry for myself as I go through a half a pack. But cigars, I can't smoke them because unless you, and I, you know, if you can inhale a cigar, good for you. You're a better man than me. I can't. Not that Cuban leaf, I can't. That'll take your lungs clean out of your body. Try to inhale that stuff. If you did have cancer, I bet you that'd kill it. Cuban leaf, good for you. I can't smoke. I smoke that, and it's like I might as well have just swallowed hydrochloric acid. It is a strong freaking leaf. So for me, cigars, it's overkill, man. Just smoke a bloody cigarette or be done with it. These guys that are sitting around puffing on a stogie. Now, they used to have these cigar clubs. I don't know where they have them anymore. Where you could go and sit and pretend like you're straight. You know, a lot of you comb over boy fans, you could go over there and smoke a cigar and pretend like, hey, you know, just for a few hours, I'm straight. You know, I like women, and give me a scotch, huh? Give me a scotch, huh? Yeah, a scotch, I'm a scotch, you know. And you can pretend like, you know, you enjoy females and stuff like that's what Combs does. You know, he goes over, he puffs on a cigar, he sucks real hard on it, has himself a glass of something, he isn't sure what it is, throws up the next day and figures he's straight. But anyway, I'd like to thank William for that. It's a very generous thing. I wish I got, where the hell is that? Well, it's in the office and it's about 9 or 10. I know that Doug, my webmaster, Doug Jones, our web thug, raided the box. So I don't know if there's any left in there, Mark. Nah, there's probably a few. Very nice. Thanks a lot for that, man. And I know you sent them to me because you wanted me to plug your business. Well, that's about all the plugging I'm going to be doing. Although he did send me a letter with a card. It's called the Flor de Jardin Cigar Company. Bill Makins, president. It's in Redford, Texas. I thought you might enjoy a great cigar on occasion. Therefore, I've taken the liberty of enclosing a sampling of our various blends and sizes. My brother and I started Flor de Jardin almost a year ago, and so far, nothing going. We are on our last legs, no money left. All we have is you. Please help. No one's buying our bad cigars. Bill, I'm kidding. So go ahead and give him look him up there on the web, man. And if you guys send me a card with your business on it, chances are I ain't going to read it. But since you're sending me something free and it's something that I maybe like, maybe I will. Anyway, getting back to my wife with this fan and the whole thing, why don't you, baby, just buy yourself a big overcoat and go to bed in it? But don't make me lay there and sweat. And when the summer comes around, and let me tell you something else, never again, as long as I live on this or any other planet, will I ever buy a house that's two stories high. That's for chumps. That two-story house thing is strictly, that's strictly from hunger, man. I ain't kidding you, Mark. You live in a house that's just flat. You can go from one room to the next, and then everything you see there. That's my house. No. Oh, you know what? I forgot something. I got to go all the way back up there and get it. I hate my life. God, am I wealthy. We'll be right back on The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Well, the news from West Virginia is those guys are alive. The 12 miners that they weren't sure whether they were alive or not. One man has died, but they found 12 miners alive after an explosion in the coal mine there in West Virginia 41 hours ago. But they found them alive. And what I'm having to conclude here is that they, if they know they're alive, I don't think they've gotten them out yet. But if they know they're alive, they can get air to them and they can get they can begin to get some medical or some kind of attention to them. So that's kind of cool. See? So go see that movie, Mate One. And ain't a bad way to start the new year. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.